We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit who enlightens our hearts and our minds, who turns our wayward hearts back to you that we might come to you in repentance and receive forgiveness for our sins. Lord, may that Spirit within us, may He enlighten us this day, may He help us to ingest your life-giving word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So there was a man by the name of Jerry Colander who was a member of my congregation in Lubbock, Texas. And my daughter was born May 13th, 2004. And probably May 20th, Jerry Colander began to bug me about getting my last will and testament done. A little depressing to think about right after the birth of my daughter, but Jerry was an attorney, and he said, it's important that you have your affairs in order. If anything were to happen to you or your wife, then it would be problematic if you didn't have your last will and testament done. Well, the procrastinator that I am didn't do it right away. We celebrated Claire's birthday, or her baptismal birthday, on July 4th of 2004. And I believe it was after that service that Jerry approached me, which I thought would be a congratulations. And he said, you know, you've taken care of one part of her inheritance, which is the most important. But it would also be important if you take care of anything left here on earth. So it was probably July 20th or so that my wife and I finally booked an appointment at Jerry Colander's office. Got everything in order, and he said, this is my gift to you. I'm not charging you anything. I'm just happy that you have your last will and testament. And I have to admit, it did feel kind of good knowing that if anything were to happen, everything would be taken care of. We would know who Claire was going to live with in the event of our death, and we knew who would raise her in our absence. We knew all of those things. Of course, at that point in life, she probably would have only inherited debt, but, you know, things have gotten a little bit better since then. And as good as that feeling was, I also began to learn in ministry and dealing with people that just because there's a last will and testament in place, if the mother and the father are still living, that can change. There's brokenness in families. There's unforgiveness in families. And I've seen parents write a child out of their will, leaving them no inheritance. It's hard to even imagine as a parent getting to such a point that you would write one of your children off. Now, I know some of you are thinking, if that happens, they deserved it, right? But it could also be the sin of the parents, maybe not even the child. It could be the sin of the parents and their unwillingness or stubbornness or control or whatever the factor may be that leads to them writing a child out of the will as if they never existed. It's tragic. It's hurtful. But it happens far more than you might imagine. Here's the thing with an earthly last will and testament, is it's never for certain. Any number of things that you do or don't do can change it. Sometimes it's not anchored into an agape kind of love, it's anchored in more of a behavioral scorecard kind of scenario. Which makes our text today from Galatians so extremely valuable, so extremely rich to people like you and people like me as we read it one more time. But when the time had fully come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of a Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So through God, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir. One of the things we often fail to remember is this, is when we are naturally born into the world, just as my daughter was born into the world, May 13th, 2004, as we are born, cut off from God in His eternal family. We don't become sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. It's our nature. It's what comes naturally to us. Which makes this text from Galatians even more remarkable. At just the right time, when you were cut off from God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and His eternal family, in any inheritance, Jesus comes into the world for you. He says He is born under the law. The good and holy law of God, which seems to always end in accusations for sinners like you and me. Jesus comes and He stands in our stead to fulfill that which you were unable to do. He comes not for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. He enters into the waters of the Jordan and there receives the accumulation of all of your sin, all of my sin, in the sin of the whole world. He becomes your and my sin bearer. And He does all of this not out of a scorecard on your part, but out of the love which comes from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit towards a fallen mankind. He comes to exchange through His cross your unrighteousness with His righteousness. Your inability to obey with His perfect obedience. Your uncleanliness in the spiritual life with His purity and holiness and cleanliness. On July 4th, 2004, at my daughter's baptism, she and we, as her parents, were handed not just a baptismal certificate, but adoption papers. Papers that tell us she, who was cut off, is now forever part of the family of God, with an inheritance that is secured by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, what does this look like for you and me as we move forward in our life? And probably the best example that we can think of is one of the most well-known parables in all of Scripture, and it's the parable of the prodigal son. We're all pretty familiar with this story, aren't we? the youngest son demands his earthly inheritance from his father before his father has even passed away. You can only imagine the offense that this would cause, not only to the father, but to the whole family. You see, everything that they had, all the land was cumulative from the beginning of this family's history until the present day. So to cut off a portion of land, to sell it, hurt not only the father deeply, but it hurt literally the whole entire family. The whole estate paid a price. And we know the story, don't we? The son takes his wealth. It says he goes to a faraway land and he lives recklessly. Another way to maybe say this is he lives in such a way to give his father probably 100 or more reasons why he should have been written out of the will long before. The focus, though, really in this parable isn't on the waywardness of the son, it's really on the love of the father. Because no matter how far away the son goes in his reckless living and sinful life, the son remains near to the father's heart. The father longs, even in the midst of the countless sins of his son, he longs to have his son back that he might swallow up all of his offenses with his mercy and grace. You would think when this wayward son comes back that he would hear the hard news. You're out of the family. But it's not what he hears. It's not what we hear either when we come back. He hears, "You're forgiven." He feels his father's coarse hands wrapped around his neck in love as he calls out for a new robe, for a ring, letting him know that he remains and is still part of his family. And all that the father has is also still his. Much to the chagrin of his older brother, we know. But this is the posture we need to understand is the Father's love toward you and me on account of Christ. Your sin doesn't write you out of the will by which the Father wrote you in with his Son's blood. Every Sunday we come into this sanctuary. We are prodigal sons and daughters returning. Probably have done enough things to certainly be written out of any internal inheritance and promise. Yet, guess what? The promise isn't secure based on what you did, but what Christ did for you. And that's what makes this gift so special today. So many people think, you know, I could never go back to church. You probably maybe heard this over the Christmas holidays when that family member wants to maybe visit and says, the church will probably collapse if I walk into it. And then you could tell them, if it hasn't collapsed when our Pastor Radke walked in, you're safe. Because all of heaven rejoices at the return. And the heart of the Father is always, always waiting to reconcile restore, and to tell you, your sins are forgiven. You are my son and daughter, sealed by the blood of the Son and the Holy Spirit Himself. So today, let us rejoice that we get to return to a Father with a heart like that. We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as undeserving as we were before baptism, as undeserving as we remain after baptism, we are reminded that your Holy Spirit calls us and leads us back from our waywardness. And He brings us before the Father that we might be cleansed, forgiven, restored, and given new life through your mercy and through your cross. And so, Lord, today we rejoice that we not only have received this forgiveness in absolution, we receive this forgiveness in the preaching of the word, and we are again affirmed of this forgiveness and sonship and adoption in the Lord's Supper. Lord, all we can do is thank you for loving us with a love that is so unfamiliar to us in this world. May we remain in your love. In Jesus' name, amen.